And turn back to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We'll start in verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And Kaufman said, to consider is different from to decide, and there is no evidence whatsoever that this so-called council decided anything except that they would not trouble the Gentiles who had turned to God. Verse 7, and when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So this is a reference to Acts 10 and the house of Cornelius. And Peter referenced the events related in Acts 10 where the conversion of Cornelius is recorded. Peter at that time had acted in good faith, baptizing Cornelius and his household without any thought of circumcision and law-keeping. But it is evident that the cunning Pharisees, in efforts to bring them all to their viewpoint, began by stressing the social issue of eating with the uncircumcised, but moving quickly afterward to the hard position of demanding full obligations to the laws of Moses as a condition of salvation. True, Peter had eaten with Cornelius, but through social pressure, the former Pharisees were able to persuade him and cause this change in his stance. When all were gathered in Jerusalem, and after many discussions, Peter's basic understanding of God's will, fortified by his rugged character, enabled him to rise up as he did here and pull the rug out from under this whole conspiracy. Verse 8 and 9. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And Kaufman said, this is one of the cornerstone doctrines of Christianity. God has only one plan, one system of human salvation, there being no partiality, no special favors, and no special devices favoring any man, ethnicity, or nation. Jews and Gentiles alike confront the same message in Christ. The whole book of Romans was written to develop the theme of God's intrinsic righteousness in treating all men and nations alike. Paul would later write, there is no distinction in Romans 3, verse 22. The words Peter spoke here obviously made a deep impression upon Paul. Verses 10 and 11. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Which clearly stating here, we are here. You are, and Peter, of course, was part of that group just previously until he got sternly corrected by Paul. But here they are testing God by putting the yoke of the old covenant, the law of Moses, which neither the Jews nor the Gentiles were able to bear. Neither their predecessors, the Jewish ancestors, nor they could bear and follow that law, because they were always going to falter and fall away from that and not follow it 100%. So his great question is here that Peter's asking these Pharisees, why are you trying to put this yoke upon them that neither our fathers nor we could bear? And in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. The pronoun you refers to the apostles and elders from Peter, from verse 6. Peter finally took a stand and charged those who held this false position as the ones who would put God on trial by questioning his word. It was not God who had made the mistake when he chose to accept the Gentiles without circumcision. The mistake lies with those who would go beyond the word of God. It seems obvious that the one at fault was the one who had made an addition to the Word of God. Circumcision was not a command of the New Testament. These men were at fault in trying to add it. The same is true today. Anytime man makes additions to or subtractions from the Word of God, whether it be circumcision or instrumental music, it is not God who has made the mistake, it is man. Jesus reminded the Jews what Isaiah had prophesied about the Messiah by quoting Isaiah in Matthew 15, verse 9. And Jesus quoting Isaiah in Matthew 15, verse 9 said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Peter had certainly changed his tune since Paul rebuked him in Antioch for his weakness and obvious hypocrisy in the face of those of the circumcision. Peter should have opposed the error of this doctrine himself, but his human imperfections appeared. Peter is to blame, is what Paul stated in Galatians 2:11. The fact that even the great apostle Peter had his weaknesses should be an encouragement to everyone trying to live life as a Christian. We are all weak in one way or another, and like Peter, we sometimes need a wake-up call. What a profound difference between Peter's teaching here and the hesitancy so shortly before this in Antioch. The circumstances of such a dramatic change most surely included Paul's devastating condemnation of Peter at Antioch. Peter was certainly out of character as this great issue boiled to a climax in Antioch, but in this scene, he came to himself, and Paul's key part in bringing Peter to his senses was an act of God himself. A rooster did it the night Jesus was betrayed, but it took Paul to do it here. By the time Peter and Paul came down to the formal part of the council, the victory had already been won. Peter had already been won over to a complete endorsement of Paul's preaching in its totality. That approval and endorsement he courageously announced to all, declaring strongly that their refusal of Paul's viewpoints would test God. Next came a strong presentation by Paul and Barnabas. And verse 12, "Then all of the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles." And this is where Paul and Barnabas were allowed to complete telling the accounts and the events that happened on their first missionary journey. And Kaufman said about this, "This thunderbolt just delivered by Peter completely silenced the party in error, leaving the vast body of Jerusalem congregation silent and ready to give full attention to the report of Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas and Paul began repeating the account of the wonderful works of God among the Gentiles that they had started in verse 4 before the interruption by those of the sect of the Pharisees. The thrust of this account of miracles and wonders among the Gentiles was to demonstrate conclusively that the mind of God in this manner had already shown in the house of Cornelius, had been abundantly displayed in the blessing he had bestowed upon the Gentiles in Antioch and during the recent mission in Cyprus and Asia Minor." And so we will end there, and Lord willing, we will begin with verse 13 next week.